Well, if you've got a Bible with you this morning, you could open up to John chapter 10. We've been, for those of you who are with us perhaps for the first time, we've been working through a series of sermons in John's Gospel. And last week we saw a blind man who God had healed, and we watched a vision of him who was coming into the light while those who are against Jesus seemed to recede further and further into the darkness. And Jesus is continuing his discussion with the Pharisees as we come to John 10. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we pray today that we would not be hard-hearted, but that your Spirit might open us to the truth of who Christ really is, and that we, like the blind man, might see and believe and worship him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, on this Good Friday, I begin by reacting to a world full of voices but offering no answers. A world full of messages that leave lives stranded in confusion. It's interesting, isn't it, that they banned TikTok on political devices, isn't it? A world full of voices, some that people don't want to be heard. A world where leadership, actually, would sacrifice children on the altars of adult self-indulgence. Have you noticed that? Our children, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and the statistics say our children have never been worse off and in more danger than they are currently. And why is that? Well, children are in the end the collateral damage to adult self-indulgence, aren't they? And we're living in a world where the wolves howl and the sheep suffer. On this Good Friday, there is one voice that I hope you will hear, because when you listen, you will know amidst all the other voices of the world that your life is not futile, your failures are not fatal, and your death is not final. And you will know this if you can hear the voice of the shepherd. The year was 586 BC. Taking you back now, aren't I? Some of you might remember it. All right, Richard? The shepherds of Israel were more interested in looking after themselves than the people of God. That's the way the Bible described the leaders of the day, as shepherds who took care of the people, the sheep. They cared, though, nothing for the sick, offered no help to the wounded, and failed to seek the lost. And in Ezekiel 34, the prophet gets a word from God in verse 11, and this is what he hears. This is what the sovereign Lord says: I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Failed shepherds, God says, I'm going to take over. Well, the year now is 33 AD. And John, the gospel writer, has us watching Jesus as he passes by a man born blind, stops and heals him. What follows was remarkable. So concerned for their own positions, the Pharisees and their like, the so-called shepherds of Israel, in the end, threw the healed man out of the synagogue because he was suggesting that Jesus is the Christ, God's shepherd king. Nothing seems to have changed from 586 BC to 33 AD, except something quite remarkable has changed, because God said, I will search for my sheep and look after them. And he comes, and he is the one who is here. And we read in John 9, verse 35, when Jesus heard that they had thrown the man born blind out, he found him. Now, did you hear what I just said from the passage of Scripture? Because that's what shepherds do. They find their sheep. Then Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man, to the man born blind? Now, that is such an important question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? See, This is how sheep respond to the shepherd. They believe. Verse 36, the blind man says, "Who is he, sir?" Well, the blind man who's not blind anymore. Where are we up to? Are we on there? You got it on the screen? You can see it all there? "Tell me," the blind man who now can see, "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. The shepherd speaks. The man born blind hears his voice. And the sheep worships the shepherd. See, good shepherds find their sheep, and the sheep believe and worship their shepherd. Got that? Clear? Now listen as Jesus speaks up for his sheep in chapter 10, verse 1, which is what Jesus always does and always will do, speak up for his sheep. One day you'll be standing before the throne of the living God for judgment. And if you're one of his sheep, he'll be there to stand up and speak for you. If you don't think about anything else today, remember that. That secures you for all eternity. John 10, verse 1, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not," and he's talking to the Pharisees at this point, "the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Did you see what shepherds do in that passage? They call you by name and they lead by going before you. Like in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet waters and to green pastures," doesn't he? I'm not quoting it very well, am I? "And even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for his rod and his staff, they comfort me." That's what shepherds do. But did you see what sheep do here? Sheep listen and know the shepherd's voice and they follow him. Now, I can think of nothing worse, really, than the voice of God being so unknown to us that it sounds like the voice of a stranger. In fact, I see nothing worse than that in Australia today. Than that the voice of God is becoming so unknown to Australians that God's voice sounds like the voice of a stranger in our culture. And I want to ask you on this Good Friday to consider whether the words of Jesus seem more like the words of a stranger to you or more like the words of a friend. Got it? That's what I'm asking you to do on this Good Friday. It's not much to ask, really, in light of the fact that Jesus actually died for you. So I'm asking you today to consider whether the words of Jesus seem more like the voice of a stranger to you than the voice of a friend. And if it seems more like the voice of a stranger, don't go home without talking to me, will you? In verses 1 to 6 of John 10, Jesus makes a contrast between the thief and the shepherd. He says, "I tell you the truth, Pharisees, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep." Now, to be honest, the first time I looked at this passage, I could not understand who these thieves were or what they were actually stealing. But I think the answer lies in Ezekiel 34 and my favourite verse here in John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." The thieves, I think, are the shepherds, like those in Ezekiel 34, who have position that is meant to serve the flock, but use the service of the flock for their own gratification. They feed themselves like wolves on the flock rather than feed the flock. They are what I call the gravy train shepherds, who care nothing for the sheep but act like wolves. They were life takers in contrast to Jesus, who is the life giver. On every occasion Jesus proves to be the life giver, there are these thieves who will do all in their power to steal away the life that Jesus offers from those around him. They'll deny Jesus' claims, they'll dispute his actions, they'll sully his reputation, they will even seek to silence the healed while plotting to take his life from him, eventually crucifying him and then persecuting his disciples. John makes clear that the thief, I think, is the one who would steal us away from Jesus. And Jesus is warning us about being stolen away from Christ. And to be stolen away from Jesus is to have life stolen from you. But I would remind you this morning, your life is not futile. Your failures are not fatal. Your sins can be forgiven. Your death is not final. And your hope is forever. And you will know this if you can hear the voice of the shepherd. Can you hear it? See if you can hear the voice in two enormous statements born of love and filled with promise here in John 10. Verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." And then in verse 11 he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Of course, you missed this probably as kind of down under Aussies. But any Israelite's ears would have immediately stood to attention at the words, "I am." This is how God first introduced himself to the world, way back in the Old Testament in Exodus 3 verse 14. Can I just make this little comment? The Bible holds together from start to finish. The Old Testament is not some kind of antiquated book that has no reference to us, but rather it is the book that gives us promise of the King who would come and shines light for us on what this King is like. And here's an example of it. In Exodus 3 verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." And Jesus uses the words "I am" deliberately because he wants people to understand that God has not sent another messenger like Moses or a king like David, but that God himself now has come to shepherd his people as he promised Ezekiel he would do. Everyone had done a bad job. God now comes to do the job the way it was always intended to be done, but only God could do. And what a shepherd God is. Verse 9, "I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved," he says. "He will come in and go out and find pastures." The Old Testament scholar Sir George Adam Smith tells the story of travelling in the East with a guide and meeting a shepherd and his sheep. As he entered into conversation with the shepherd, the man showed him the fold into which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls with a way in. Sir George said to him, "That is where they go at night?" "Yes," said the shepherd, "and when they are in, they are perfectly safe." "But there is no door," said Sir George. "I am the door," said the shepherd. Now, this was not a Christian man who said this. He was not speaking the language of the New Testament. He was speaking from an Arab shepherd's standpoint. Sir George looked at him and said, "What do you mean by the door?" The shepherd said, "When the light has gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie in the open space, and no sheep ever goes across my body, and no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door." Now, when I read that, and I hope as you heard that, I couldn't help thinking that as Jesus says, "I'm the door," that he's really saying, "It will be over my dead body that any enemy will attempt to get at my sheep. Got that? So if you want life protected and provided for, if you want life to be full, then stay with the shepherd and listen to his voice. Because for Jesus Christ, your life is not futile. Your failures are not fatal. Your sins are forgiven. Your death is not final. And your hope is forever. And not only is Jesus the door, but he is the good shepherd. Did you see that? If you want to know what it meant, what is meant by the good shepherd, then listen to the contrasts that we get in verses 11 to 15, which is on the screen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Did you pick up the contrast? The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep, does he? And our world is filled with hired hands, isn't it? Who in the moment of trouble will run for self-protection rather than to stand. But the good shepherd, by contrast, cares enough to lose his own life for the safety of the sheep, which I find so refreshing. In a world of life takers, Jesus would let his own life be taken in order to safeguard the life of those he loves. One extraordinary picture is painted of Jesus here. He is the I am of life. He is the giver of life in fullness. He is the source of life who comes and lays across the access to our lives as a sentinel of protection, willing to pay the ultimate cost because he is the God who loves his people. His love removes futility. His love forgives the sins that would otherwise be fatal. His laying down his life would see him take it up again in resurrection, making death not final. Easter week's always interesting, isn't it? It became very interesting for me this week. Yesterday I was invited to go what is now called Grand Friends Day at my grandson's school. The crescendo moment of the event was the Easter hat parade. You know, I saw rabbit's ears, chicken and egg decorations, lots of colour, but I saw no crown of thorns. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want my grandson wearing a crown of thorns. And you'd ask some questions, I guess, if the school promoted all the kindy kids wearing crown of thorns, wouldn't you? But should we not ask the question of a world that would crown God's Son with thorns and enthrone him on a cross with nails? What the heck were we thinking? And what the heck was Jesus doing? Well, Jesus is not a shepherd with empty words of promise, but the shepherd who in a short period of time would not run like hired hand, but stand his ground. A shepherd who would take a mauling from the wolves and a brutal crucifixion from the life-taking thieves. And on that cross, crowned with suffering, he would take on everything that threatens the fullness of life. He'd bear the sins of history past and all the sins of history future. He'd bear your sins for today. By his death, he would bring in and secure within the sheepfold of God's family all who would listen and know his voice. Is it the voice of a stranger to you today? Or is it the voice of a friend? Do you hear his voice? Good Friday 2023. That's today. So many voices. So many messages. So much confusion and lostness. But in the midst of it all, God has never changed. The shepherd finds you, which is what shepherds do. And when sheep hear his voice, they follow, because that's what sheep do. And when you hear his voice, then you know, well, you'll see on the screen, your life is not futile. Your failures are not fatal. Your sins are forgiven. Your death is not final. And your hope is forever. And you'll know this if you can hear the voice of the shepherd. No wonder they call it Good Friday.